It's all right. You could be a Rialto alum. I don't even have any.
What the fuck,
come on,
Alan?
Fuck. Here we go. I'm making fun. There it is. There it is. Beasties, baby.
Yeah, story of my life. Drinking alone. Fun. Happy fucking happy hour. It's Alan Maldonado from Blackish and General Awesomeness.
Yeah.
And can I just say, I can't believe you're at my fucking house.
I
because you're
going to
be like
it.
P. Diddy
house is
meets
fucking cool.
Like Russell Simmons. I've seen you fucking
come
everywhere.
On, keep talking about it. Keep talking about it. Yes. Yes. I love it. And very,
gotta,
very true. Facts.
I got to get photographic evidence of this shit. Right? He's going to be the mogliest blowout
ever. Oh,
my
God.
Right?
Thank you. Thank
Clearly.
You so much.
Listen, do you understand what I know about apps? Is I've got our pizza coming in an hour, and that's all I fucking can do. So that's the best I can do.
I
but
love
you are
it.
Like a mogul, an actor. Okay, Blackish.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Uh-huh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Smart.
Thank you.
Funny.
Yeah. Thank you. We got The Last OG with Tracy Morgan and Cedric the Entertainer, Jordan Peele. That's coming out next year. So
I just love the scene I saw from Blackish where you
Which
were like,
one?
You know, they're like African. The white people are all like African American. You're like, it's okay to say black.
Yeah,
like, well, you know, I miss colored.
I miss colored.
Like,
yes.
All right, now we're gonna
yes.
throw it
yes.
out, motherfucker.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, the N-word episode was funny. It was hilarious. I love it.
Yeah. What's it like to do Blackish in the era of Donald Trump, which is the most blatantly racist administration we've ever fucking endured?
It's important.
Right?
I think it's important that we actually have some an outlet to express our feelings, being that we did an episode Lemons about the election.
Yeah.
It really voiced kind of both sides and kind of put people at ease in as far as where things could go. This was very early in the game that we did that episode.
Yes.
That episode, I think, would be a lot different now if we reshot that with the current things that he's doing. But it's important. I think it's something that it eases people's pain as we have to deal with certain elements as far as race and how he's kind of making it very blatant, his position on everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right. Yeah.
It's important. I think it's very important.
Not to harsh the happy hour right off the top.
Yeah. Come on.
But I mean, honestly, it's not just Charlottesville. It's how he smeared this grieving, pregnant, black widow, you know, African-American widow. And then, and the congresswoman, who was also a black woman. And, you know, I had Congresswoman Karen Bass on today, who was also a black woman, who said, Frederica Wilson can't come and vote because of death threats, because there's a threat on Facebook about lynching her.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the fuck? How is this 2017?
This is the thing. It's as crazy as it sounds. He's just putting, you know, speakers to what people are saying or people have been doing.
Really? Not people I know.
No.
I guess people.
It's people in general. Like, I my family's from Alabama. From the South.
Yeah.
And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Now, there's a certain level of respect that I can feel when I'm down there, but there's definitely a distinction of, oh, we don't mess with you and you don't mess with us.
Yeah.
And that's clear. And I think with him being president, it's just giving these individuals that have had to be quiet because it wasn't celebrated as much as it is now with the president, you know. Being in office and defending and not.
Yeah,
you
it
know.
Is. It's like, oh, God, I've had the N-word backed up for so many years.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it's like racist colon blow.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
N-word,
exactly
N-word,
right.
N-word.
Yes.
Oh, God, it's okay now.
That's what it is. And it's sad, but it's also, you know, I guess good in a sense that we need to truly understand that a lot hasn't changed. We need to really understand that we still have a long way to go. And to think that just because we had a black president that all racism is done in America, that was quickly.
Well,
that
if
quickly,
anything,
quickly
this is the blacklash, as people say.
It
is.
The
backlash to, right? I mean, and I understand racism. Just what I experienced before we started taping with you and Vanessa, because I felt very excluded, because apparently you're both from Rialto.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's ever heard of that?
Rialto.
I thought it was an amusement park. Rialto,
baby.
No.
Yeah.
That's
like
a place.
The bridge.
No,
like the bridge.
You take
Rialto,
the 10
California.
Way down to past the 15.
Yep.
Before
yep.
the 215.
So basically, everyone has passed Rialto at some point going to
yes.
Vegas.
Going to Palm Springs.
Going to Palm Springs, going to Vegas. You've passed Rialto. Okay. Everybody's touched Rialto at some point. It's one of those things. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Rialto is a thing.
All right. I believe you both now. So. Wait, did you grow up there? You said your family's from the South.
My mom is from Alabama. Okay. My mom's from Alabama. My father's from New York. So I would spend my summers in Harlem and then immediately go to Alabama right after. So culture shock was
speaking
the
of
first
Blacklash,
time. Yes. Yes. So being around nothing but Puerto Ricans, Dominicans during, you know, June and July, then in August, I'm around nothing but black and white people. Right. So it was definitely culture shock, but it was educational for me being that, you know, I've had uncles that have dealt with, you know, racial tension their entire lives, segregation. Like, I can hear stories from individuals that experienced these things and look in their eyes and see the pain that they went through. And to be educated on that level about black history is a whole nother aspect than just reading it in a book. Yeah. I can actually go to a person and he can tell me about things that them walking to school and the bus full of white kids driving in the mud and spraying them on the way, and they have to walk, you know, literally 5 to 6 miles just to get to school. Like, I remember taking a ride with him, and this is a empty country road, and it took us about 20 minutes to get to and from where the high school was at, from where my uncle's house was into where the actual school, the elementary and the all-in-one school, because it was K-12 at that particular time. It took about 20 minutes on an empty road. So I can only imagine having to walk that every day just to be able to get an education. So it's also these things need to be brought back up, because a lot of these kids and a lot of these minority kids that take this education for granted, they need to understand that people have to fight just to be able to read and be able to get this education.
I just saw my friend Rob Reiner's film, LBJ, and my dad and Goldwater ran against LBJ.
Hey.
64.
Hey.
But, I mean, to watch his evolution to the Kennedy's position on civil rights, because one of the things that he talked about is he's his personal cook, he said, who was for years, he said, you know, I asked her, you know, would you bring my dog, you know, from wherever to Texas? And he said she respectfully declined because she said, it's hard enough to be a black woman driving alone across. I can't have a dog with me because I already have to. And he at the time was completely unaware that she had to worry about where she's going to stay, where she could sleep, where she could eat as a black woman. And so, you know, I mean, but you look at the shit that's happening now, and
but
you're
I
like,
think that's
what the
I,
fuck?
That's what I think is important, because as an African-American and any other black person will tell you that nothing has changed. It's new to white people. Because it's new to white people. Like, wait a minute, it's still racism?
I'm all like, oh my God.
No, yes.
Oh my God, this is horrendous.
No, I remember before me doing acting and all these other things, being harassed by the police and pulled over several times just for nothing, and being told, oh, you got your work badge on your rearview mirrors, obstruction of view. Like, what? Really? Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. You're pulling me over for nothing, driving while black. Like, just even walking. How do you get pulled over from walking home? That you get harassed that way. I've had guns put out on me by police. I had an AK-47 pulled out on me by police. And this is a reality. This is something that...
There was some story from today, and someone just said, this is why Colin kneels.
Yeah.
This is why.
Yeah, and people have taken to change the narrative as far as making it against, you know...
The flag.
The flag, which is not, you know, even the point of why he's doing it. He was, you know, he talked to a veteran in regards to...
Yeah.
Instead of sitting to make the knee. So he spoke to a veteran and had a conversation on what would be the best way to represent his cause during the Pledge of Allegiance. And people have quickly forgotten that part of it, where it's like he's just totally disrespecting. And that's not his case. It's about the police brutality that happens every day, that has been happening for years and years and years and years and years and years. It just hasn't stopped.
Did you ever think, do you ever think in your lifetime we'd have a president of the United States that seems to exist to further exacerbate racial tensions rather than unite people? That just seems to fucking take every... Like, he wakes up and goes, what dick move can I do today?
You know what? To be totally honest, it's just he's just more vocal about it. Yeah. Not to say that other presidents didn't do anything to, to the demise of the underprivileged and the underserved. There's a lot of things. We can talk about the 13th. you know, the 13th Amendment and the three strike law and all of these things that just, you know, crippled the black community as far as destroying the black family. So it's a lot of things that in politics have been pointed towards minorities and have triggered things to not go in our go to the evolution of growth rather than you know, take us back. So he's just more vocal with it, you know.
I was just laughing about black stereotypes, Vanessa, because I'm thinking I've sworn like 1,000 more times than he has already.
You have.
Oh, I curse all the fucking time. So I'm just.
He's a gentleman.
You're like, you don't drink. You
know? Yeah. I keep it cool.
Let's tell people in case they don't know. And if you don't know, you're a fucking asshole. Alan Maldonado is everywhere. Actor, writer, Blackish, Survivor's Remorse, You're the Worst, Straight Outta Compton, The Equalizer. I'm Old. That was one of my favorite shows.
The TV show?
With the white guy. And now.
Yeah. And like Denzel, see, there it is. That's changed, baby. That's changed. I'm glad it wasn't like an uproar like on these other films where there's, you know, somebody of a different color playing the role of the main character. Like, but I guess Denzel get a pass.
Yeah. Denzel always gets a pass.
If anybody can play a white character, Denzel can play.
That's the guy, man.
Denzel can play. Wasn't he British?
Are you kidding? People were like, he's drunk, but I don't care. He's a good pilot.
Right. He's handsome. He's fantastic. Right? That's fine.
Whatever. He's still a good pilot.
Right.
What was he like? I know people always ask the same shit.
I mean, he's super cool. He is, as advertised, being one of the coolest people on earth. Always poised, always has a handle on himself and everything around him. He's just incredible to watch as a person.
Yeah.
You know, how just grounded he is and how he knows himself more than anything, and he stands on that. And just learning, you know, watching his process, watching how he, you know, paces himself as we were shooting that film for 3.5 months. I was there 2.5, but that was the main thing that he told me, because I would be up talking and being all energetic with everybody, and he was basically like, man, sit your ass down.
Save it for the scene.
Save it. He was like, save it, man. This is a long ride, man. So just pace yourself. You know, and when it's your time to shine, go out there and do your work. So that was one of the major things.
Yeah.
And, like, I literally, like, we would walk to set, would walk behind him and, like, walk in his footsteps. Like, literally. Like, he didn't know. If he did, he probably thought I was weird as shit.
All right, that's weird.
But, right. But I did. It was a mental thing for me. I'm like, yeah, I'm coming right behind you. I'm following your lead, man. I honor and appreciate everything that you've done for actors, and especially black actors, and seeing how we can, you know, transcend color,
right,
you know,
right,
and that's what he's done, and that's the goal for myself.
Yeah. What? All right, let's go back to Rialto.
Let's go back to Rialto in the building.
The 909.
What
up, 909 in the house?
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Come on, son.
What up, 718-909 in the house?
I love it.
Wait, what does everybody meet on your hat?
Everybody Digital.
Oh, okay.
That's the app. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. Bing.
What?
Plug.
We'll get to all that. Yes. So, all right. So what, you grew up in Rialto with, hang on, let me just page through my.
Yeah, go for it.
My prep. But so tell me about you had an interesting, you're native of Rialto, city just outside of LA, obviously. Raised by a single mother, lost your dad to cancer at a very young age. How old?
Yes, I was 7.
Oh, yeah.
7 years old. Man, it was tough. I only knew my father for 2 weeks. Knew my father for 2 weeks, being that my mom kicked him out when I was three, being that he was an alcoholic. And one day, am I talking too much?
No. Like,
but
I understand why I'm drinking
alone. She she didn't want me to grow up around an alcoholic, so she kicked him out. And so when I was 7, you know, she was like, I'm going to fly and let you go meet your father. I flew to New York, and I was there for two weeks, and then he passed the week I got back.
Oh.
So it was one of those, you know, very hurtful time, you know, hurtful moment in my life, but something that I've grown strength from, being that, you know, I had no father to run to, so I had to look at myself to be the man, and that's something that
Siblings or no?
I have my 2 sisters.
Okay.
Yeah, my 2 sisters and my mother. I have 5 nieces and 1 nephew. So ultimately, I'm still the only man in the family.
Yeah.
And that's something that I, you know, I wear proudly as being the one to represent it.
And are you married, kids?
No, no. Oh, I'm single.
Well, let's hit the dating game single. Music. Hello. I'm just saying, ladies, really hot. He's going to be the new, you know, Russell Simmons.
Yeah,
let's
talk to
do
him.
This.
Yeah, I'm going to see. I'm going to deepen up my voice. I'm going to smooth it out. Yeah.
It couldn't be smoother.
Hey, no. Thank you.
What? So wait, what are you? Are you? Do you want to be married, have kids? What's your?
Yeah. I'm a family man. I'm a family man. Family is first in everything that I do.
Yeah.
Being that's my foundation. That's my heart. That's what I believe is, you know, legacy means everything to me. That's the reason why I work as hard as I do and have 80 different things going at once, because it's not about my kids, it's about my kids.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, my kids having my poster on the wall like you have your father. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's that, you know, leaving a legacy that they can, you know, continue to build on.
Well, you don't have to worry yet because you are 12.
Is that the first mustache
you've grown?
Yeah. It's new growth.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Getting used to it.
Good job, son. But you grew up in a tough neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
I'm reading you're inspired by your mom's passion, determination.
Yeah.
That platform proven invaluable to achieve your goals at the age of 21. You got on the Young and the Restless because you're so pretty.
I don't hate that.
Because God made you pretty.
Hey there. Talk about it. Yeah.
You can't. Nobody can get on soap.
Oh, man. So Young and the Restless was great, man. It was, I think, acting Olympics for me.
Yeah.
Being that you literally can go to the makeup chair and come out and have an entirely new script when you walk to set. Like, it's that crazy. Like, you can memorize your lines and then, you know, an hour later, it's a whole new script. You may be a new person. Like, you may.
Like,
so
I played myself on General Hospital, so I don't really. Well, not myself, actually, the nurse, Vanessa. Hmm. But it was a radio station
it
thing.
Was radio.
And
okay.
I think I only had Dr. Hear the charts. I think that was it.
That was shining.
Yeah.
You were shining.
Didn't really get cast for my looks. like you did. But wait a minute. So wait, tell me about, you were in a near fatal car accident?
Yes, I was.
About that time when you were how old?
Yeah, I was 21. I was hit by a drunk driver going 65 miles per hour. He was in a BMW Roadster and I was walking.
Once again, I see why I'm drinking.
Yeah, no, it was, I was coming out of my acting class. I was saying bye to a few friends, and then I don't remember anything else other than that. But witnesses said that I flew in the air, landed on my face. I ended up underneath the car that hit me, and another car was wedged. Like, it was crazy. My face was, you know, it was ridiculous. Like, it was, you couldn't, that was the... I would say this, the one of the worst moments in my life was when my nieces, they were like 6 or 7 at the time. They couldn't look at me.
Yeah.
They were scared of me. And that was probably one of the worst moments of my life.
Well, you know, can I just say it all came back together fantastically?
Yes, it did.
Is that inappropriate?
Yeah.
No. You're telling me that's handsome?
Well, now I feel bad about it's in the kitchen going, what's up, Captain Buzzkill? I was like, I was almost killed by a drunk driver. My father was an alcoholic.
Yeah, you know,
I was like, let me get some more
wine. Not to share that story because it does that. It does that. Like, why you don't drink? Well, I almost died.
Oh, glug, 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 yeah, glug, yeah. Glug. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Cool. Talk about killing
the
vibe.
I'm not driving. I'm just walking you upstairs
That's
for pizza,
fine.
Man.
Yeah,
I'm not
good.
Doing anything.
You're good. We're fine. We're okay. Drink it up.
But anyway, you just have an incredible story. Come on.
What?
Who is this much of a fucking overachiever? Look what I could do if I stopped drinking. The record company, fucking t-shirt line. Portions of the proceeds go to your foundation. You have a foundation.
Yeah, I have a foundation.
What? Okay. What? And that's about for it's higher kids. Education, community service.
Yeah, it's called Demo Nerds. It's acting and film for kids.
Called what now?
At Demo Nerds. Yeah. It's corky name. I'm a nerd. And
I sussed that out
a little bit.
I got it, Urkel.
Yeah, you got it. See, I got my glasses on today. I'm trying to give that
it's
intellectual
like
look.
Urkel
right now.
Hijacked Def Simmons' record.
So yeah, it's an acting camp for foster kids and at risk youth where we teach them acting, and then at the end of the program they shoot their own short film.
Wow.
And then we run a red carpet gala press is there, and we screen their films in front of their friends and family. It's transforming. Wow. We're on our fifth year doing it, so
nice.
It's exciting.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Wait, so you got to tell me about it. Everybody Digital is the app.
Yes.
That you, like I was saying, I've just only, and Vanessa can confirm this, I've only just figured out how to use apps.
It's all right.
Food
it's
delivered to my house. So this is fantastic. It's called Everybody Digital.
Everybody Digital.
But you know what? This is close to my heart, and Vanessa can tell you why. My nephew, my tiny baby nephew, who's 47, I was in that when I was five. Don't start with me, motherfucker.
Okay.
But my point is, he's an incredibly talented, you know, actor, writer, director. But he had a film at Sundance Festival that read for love that made the competition category. And it goes away.
Yes, yes.
And it goes away.
Like, it just falls right off a cliff, man. And it's sad. And that was what the reason why I created the app is because I had a similar situation where I had a film that won countless awards, gotten several film festivals, and then after our your 12 to 15 month window where you get to submit these films.
Yeah.
Just dead. It was nothing. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to be able to create a platform to bring a broader audience to short films, ultimately creating an industry for short films. That's what we're doing with Everybody Digital, where in 2 years we'll be able to, you know, operate at just as Netflix and license all of our short films.
Right,
on
that's
platform.
Great. That's what you're saying. You're calling it Netflix for short films.
Yeah, the short film version of Netflix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's available now and on Google Play as well.
Google Play in a month. It'll
okay,
be there in a month.
Okay.
It's in the Apple. It's on in the App Store for Apple right now. So go ahead, everybody that's listening, download. It's an incredible act, incredible, talented individuals, films,
so,
award-winning films, etc.
Anything from dramatic to comedy, right?
Yes.
But running no longer than 20 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and you were saying your film spawned this. You said it was born out of heartbreak.
Yes. Yes, it was born out of heartbreak, right. Man.
Your film, One Decision Away, a college graduate struggling in a rough neighborhood with his wife and child. Labor of love, and then you're like, wow, how do you get it to a wider audience was where you...
Yeah, exactly. And that was the idea of Everybody Digital, just to create or reintroduce people, the masses, or the common consumer, or the average consumer, rather, to short films, being that they've been removed out of theaters, being that the short films used to go...
So it's perfect for our short attention spans.
Exactly.
For, right, like our...
Smart.
Like,
right.
Yes.
We're all like goldfish now.
Yeah.
Like,
and
long is it? I can do 20 minutes.
Right. And on the app, we cater to that, being that our categories are 1 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you're in between work or on the train or on the bus or just, you know, I wouldn't advise that. But if you had a light, you know,
that's a long light.
Yeah,
man.
It's a long light. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we got some things for a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes that you can.
Perfect for Sunset and Fuller.
There it is. There it is.
Come make that left
right,
turn.
Right. That 4 or 5
There's no
traffic,
lights that long in Rialto.
You know. No,
no,
no, yeah. No. No,
also that,
Rialto is very, it's wide open. It's wide
it
open.
Is.
No traffic jam.
Yeah. Now, does one have to be nearly run over by a car to have a recording company, a production company, a t-shirt light, and a foundation? Or do you feel like?
I would advise, no.
There are other ways to attain that.
I think there's other ways. But the reason, you know, the accident really changed my perspective on life, being that I really, truly, and deeply understand that tomorrow's not promised.
Yeah. Right. And everybody, you're like, oh, yeah, life is too...
Right. Yeah, you know what?
Oh,
I'm
really
taking
short,
cherishing every second of the day, where every second I'm trying to achieve my goals, where ultimately, if I can look down in my, you know, one day when I'm dead and I look down at myself and I can be honest and ask myself, did I try and do anything to achieve my... do anything to achieve my goal? I can say yes.
I feel like... when you're dying, you're going to invent like another app.
One more.
Right, right. The resurrection.
The news.
I'm still here app.
For hospice. They're also, this funeral home sucks. Here's a new app.
Right. There it is. Somebody's making it right now. you just sparked it right now. Somebody's doing
that's
it.
That's
right
ambition,
now.
Right?
Yeah.
You can sleep when you're dead. Fuck you, Nike. He's invented that fucking thing.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So, now, all right. I don't even know where to start with your whole. Where did the record company come out of? Where did
Well, you know, the record company came out of everything. Kind of spawns from acting, being that I got into music because at the time all the rappers were getting all the roles, and I was like, well, let me dibble and dabble in that. Then let me, if that's what they're looking for, let me try to figure out a way to get some exposure that way. And I began to make music and was touring, was doing a lot of local stuff. And I quickly realized that there's more avenues than just being, you know, Jay-Z and Ludacris or Diddy. There's ways of making money with music through TV placements and film placements. So I began to put my focus into that. And currently I got like 50 songs in rotation right now on television shows from, you know, NBA TV.
Don't you feel like what's missing is, you know, white girl raps badly? Don't you feel like
we need
in
that.
Your comedy
we need that.
Portion of the app?
We need
you
that.
You want his this career to
white,
soar.
White,
not
girl, white girl battle raps? That's, hey, that there, that's a show right there. That's a show. We got to shoot it in Ohio or something. Like, we got to do. We
like
got
white, like whitish, we, like
yeah.
whitish.
Yeah,
right?
Whitish. Yeah,
a girl that like wants to be black but isn't, and just like
that's we can. There it is.
Hey
come
guys,
on. You
look keep, at this fresh new.
Yeah.
I just okay.
You're batting right. a thousand I,
you know,
right
I'm,
now.
I'm,
you're batting.
Alan, I'm spitballing with you.
Oh boy.
No, I had an idea with a you know friend, a new hot girl I met who's married. And she's like, I'm straight-ish. I'm like, we're
Wait
shooting that to follow Black-ish, straight-ish.
She's straight-ish. She kind of, you know, when she has two or
Until
three
they
shots
meet
in
me.
Her. Yeah,
Until they
and then
meet
she kind of feels on your shoulder a little bit.
She can be Black-ish. You can be straight-ish.
Just she just holds onto that hug a little bit too long.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, let's talk about the new Tracy Morgan, TBS. What
yes.
is that? The Last OG?
The Last OG.
On TBS?
Yes, nice. Starring myself, Tracy Morgan, Cedric the Entertainer, Tiffany Haddish, executive produced by Jordan Peele, man. It's a great show as Tracy has been released from jail after 15 years, and he discovers a regentrified Brooklyn. You know, it's totally different from the time that he got locked up. And he discovers that his girlfriend, before he got locked up, was pregnant. So he has 15-year-old twins, and she's married to a white guy now. So, yeah, different obstacles that he has to tackle.
Speaking of near-death experiences, Tracy Morgan, huh?
Yeah. It was unique being that he didn't know about my experience until I got on set and we shared our story. And it was just how quickly we bonded. Our chemistry was automatic as when we did our tests for the show.
Yeah.
I didn't say one line from the script. We improv for basically 20 minutes.
Wow.
And as I'm hearing, that's never happens, I guess.
Yeah.
Like as soon as I walked through the door, our chemistry we just connected and we've been running ever since. So on the show, and me sharing the story while I was there just, you know, solidified our connection as far as
that's not normal. Oh,
exactly.
You almost killed my car. Me too.
Right. So our bond is really tight because of that. And just off our natural chemistry, man. And I can't wait. I think we're debuting in spring of 2018.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the people to see the show and just see Tracy back on screen, man. It's it's great that his story is, you know, just like mine's of, you know, survival and a will to live and a will to win, and he continues to prove that with everything he does.
Yeah.
So
I understand during your rare free time you enjoy
I know, right?
I love he. This guy behind you probably wrote this.
Mike, she's throwing you under the bus.
You apparently enjoy working out. You enjoy working out.
Yeah.
Boxing, playing
boxing
basketball.
Boxing is my thing, yeah.
I find that incredibly racist, white publicist.
Basketball, and he eats
and
watermelon
time.
And chicken.
Spending time with
drinking
you.
Grape Aid.
Really? you put watermelon
Mike
in the,
did it,
really?
Man. Blame it on Mike. He did
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ.
He did it. He
what
did
the
it.
Fuck?
He did it, wearing a Malcolm X t-shirt. All of those things at once.
Really? Boxing and basketball?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
All of those things. He didn't put hockey down there? Damn you, Mike.
Swimming? What? No? Nothing?
Damn you, Mike. I have a funny story about
field
that.
Field hockey? No.
I got a funny about the swimming thing, because what's another fun fact is I was a Boy Scout growing up.
I was a Girl Scout.
And yeah, I was a Girl Scout. Mm-hmm. Hey. And I was the only, you know, black kid in my troop. So, and during the summer camps, which is at like Alfred Hitchcock's like old ranch he donated to the Boy Scouts.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so,
mother blood. No.
So we're there. We're there at his ranch. So basically it's basically like a Disney movie where, like I'm the only black kid with the white troop and it's nothing but white troops. And then there's one year, there's a black troop, the all black troop comes and they come in like dominate everything. Oh. And like, I'm the great black hope. But everybody, like, so like, I had all the white kids rooting for me and everything, because I was their only hope in all the races and all of everything.
That's but, like airplane.
But
Robert
one
Hayes.
Event though, right. one event that right. we just tapped out, which was the swimming badge. None yeah. of us, as you stereotypical as it you sounds, sang. That is a fact. It was a fact at this camp that none of us was like, yeah, swimming. We gonna sit this one out. I'm rooting for Josh on this one. Come on, Josh. Come on, Josh. Let's get this one. I was on the sideline, baby. It was, yeah, good fun. Good fun growing up. Good fun.
Oh my God. Fun. That's yeah. like the airplane scene where yeah. Hayes going to yeah. teach all yeah. the yeah. African guys how to play basketball.
Right.
They're all
right.
like way better in like 2 seconds than he is.
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, you're so good at this.
exactly. Yeah. So. Good times. Good times.
Good times, man. Good times.
Gotta love the Boy Scouts.
So what kind of working out? Can we see your abs?
Yeah, yeah. I'm always flexed out, man.
What sort of working out? Like, what kind of weights? Tell us more.
Weights? Yeah, yeah.
For all the girls
10
who know
pounds,
you're, for all the girls
20 pounds,
know you're single. What's happening?
30 pounds. Wow. 40 pounds. I can do it. I can do it all.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Oh, there's a phone.
Pizza.
We got a call.
Sean, pizza.
Is that the pizza guy? Let's bring
pizza
him down
salad.
Here. Let's
Come
see
on.
How his ride was. Let's see. Let's see if he made
so,
sure.
What was your? How would you describe your childhood? I mean,
interesting to say the least. Yeah. Because
how old are your sisters? Older, younger?
Yeah, they're older. We're my mom calls us the lucky 21 because we're all 7 years apart.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my childhood was very diverse to say the least. As I mentioned, I was in the Boy Scouts, and I was the only black kid there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I moved to the Vineyards, we were, you know, surrounded. We was in the hood. It was surrounded by, you know, gangsters and gangbangers.
Oh, that's where you lived, the Vineyards?
Yeah, you know
what?
About the Yards?
Wait, I'm on Idlewild.
You're on which part?
I'm right by the Vineyards.
Oh, you right by
I
the Vineyards?
Walk
okay,
there.
So she know. Yeah, here we go. Now we leaving you out again. The Vineyards, yes.
Wait, my friend Christine.
210 Beechwood.
Beechwood.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm, you know, the streets that were following Brampton and
yeah.
Idlewild.
Oh, is that,
right.
Is,
I'm right there on
Idlewild. Is that before on the other side of Baseline?
No, I'm right next to you.
So
you,
where you by the Casa Rialto's?
No, I'm by like.
Was it near the Renaissance?
No, I'm like right. I'm just a few blocks.
You're right,
to you.
Few blocks. Oh, so you on the? Okay, I know where you at. You're near Cactus. You going towards Cactus?
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I had a couple friends that lived over there. Yeah.
Excuse me. I speak. I speak jive.
You speak Rialto too?
I speak jive.
Come on. Yeah. No. I mean, I grew up in the Vineyards.
No, because
yes.
Technically, my mom was the school district. Rialto Unified School District. So
yeah.
I'm supposed to go to Rialto High School.
You're supposed to go to Rialto. Yeah, you traitor. You
traitor.
She's supposed to go to yeah.
Well,
she went to Ike.
Damn it.
Yeah, I'm not talking to her anymore.
No,
yeah,
sir.
She's a traitor.
Well,
yeah.
sir.
But yeah, I grew up in the Vineyards, man. So it was very different, you know, kind of leaving and doing different things. Like I was I was playing basketball.
Yeah.
And then I was a dancer. I was
guard.
A salsa
I'm
club.
I'm just gonna say guard because I was a center.
You
I
was a center.
Much older than I, or much higher, you know, taller than I.
I'm very tall.
How tall are you?
I'm tall and tall. Ball player size. That's what I am.
You're tallish.
I'm ball player
You're
size.
You're tallish and blackish.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm straightish.
Yeah, there it is. So yeah, it was different, man. It was. I learned.
It wasn't an easy neighborhood. It's
you
not.
Said,
it
was, no.
There's a liquor store right there that was
yeah,
near
Brown's. Yeah, Brown liquor store. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
There's only Brown liquor.
It was called Brownies.
Oh, Brownie. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Brownies liquor.
Yeah,
I thought you meant that you could only get brown liquor.
Yeah,
like,
but
where do I get vodka? God
you
damn it.
Can,
where's the tequila?
Yeah, yeah. They were just
okay.
Segregated liquor stores.
I
Look
understand.
At that.
Wow, that is fucking hardcore, man. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Tough,
the white, liquor,
we
the white
only
liquor's
sell,
there.
We only sell
only
black the, liquor.
Right.
In my neighborhood, that's how black my neighborhood was.
Not too far from Lorraine. You know that little store?
Yep.
You want that one?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You,
what?
Yeah,
come I don't, on. I don't know what the fuck.
But yeah, now, it was very different, but diverse. Yeah. Being also being going to
I'm
New
like,
York
it's
and Harlem.
I was like cracker ping pong. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh.
But
all
you
right.
followed along very well.
I do.
I'm very
I
proud
follow.
Of you.
I follow.
I'm very proud. I'm very proud of you.
It's just interesting because it was such a hard area. I think that there were only a few options. It wasn't really optimistic for you to do something, become more,
no,
and to get out of that area.
No.
So that's the thing. It was hard.
It was a very tough area in a sense.
So where'd you get that from?
My mom. I always tell this story because it was, I know the day my life changed.
Yeah.
I was outside hanging out with the, you know, with the fellas. They smoking, they drinking, they playing dice. Yeah. All the stereotypical things.
Yeah.
Things that, you know, the young thugs do. But hey, we do that. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud of it.
He was in Straight
Outta
Compton.
Yeah, we was out there chilling.
He was in Straight Outta Compton, everybody.
We was out there chilling, doing nothing. So one, this lady was walking down the alley. And I just couldn't take my eyes off of her, like to the point where everybody kind of disappeared around me.
Yeah.
And as she got closer, I realized that it was my mother, and she was exhausted. And my mother's the type of person where I didn't know we were poor until I was out of high school. Like, she sold me this dream that we were saving up. Forgive me of me being naive, but yes, I believed that growing up. Because she knew if I knew we were poor, I probably would have quit school and would have did God knows what to help my mother. And I never saw her weak.
Good for her.
Saw her weak. So when she was walking down that alley, that was her, you know, being vulnerable. And I never seen her like that. And that broke my heart to the point where I was like, I have to change everything that I'm doing. I have to change hanging out with all of these people that I'm hanging out with. I have to do something different to be able to help my family and not take the quick route. And do something that I'll be there for, you know, to help everybody and be there to stay, not go to jail or die.
Yeah.
So that was the moment that changed my life. And my mother has been my inspiration as far as continue to work, continue to strive for more.
Yeah. Is she still, where is she still in?
Yeah, she in Rialto, baby.
She's in Rialto,
She in Rialto. She's in the better part of Rialto.
Well, you know what I always say. Yeah. No one does it like South Central. Oh, that's not in South Central. I apologize. What is happening? Old white lady tries to connect.
Yeah. Now, it's like three cities you can pick from: South Central, Compton, and Inglewood.
I just know the bubblegum rap I enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
From the icy puffy people. Alan, but you're okay. So wait, because Vanessa is half Mexican, half African American. Uh-huh. You are from Puerto Rican and African American.
Yeah. Puerto Rican and black. Yeah.
Yeah. And your mom was?
My mom is black. Okay. And she's from Alabama. And my father's Puerto Rican. He's from San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
But he had moved to.
Whereas Donald Trump would say Puerto.
Yeah, and throw paper towels at us.
Right, yes,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and shoot jump shots. That was incredible.
That was fucking Christ. What an asshole.
Yeah, it was a jerk. He grew up in Harlem, New York. That's my background.
Yeah. But did you feel any double whammy of racism, or people didn't necessarily know?
Oh, wow, man. It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, I talk about all the time being black and Puerto Rican, where, you know, a lot of times you're not black enough, or you're not Puerto Rican enough. And,
right.
You know, you definitely have those conversations within the community. And I spoke on a panel this past weekend, or two weekends ago. And I talked about before we begin to point fingers at other races, we need to look at ourselves, being that the division within us is the problem, being that the darker skinned Latinos often get neglected. They don't get, you know, they often get shunned. They're always in the poor side of society, where even in Puerto Rico, like a lot of the stuff they're talking about, they're not talking about the darker skinned Puerto Ricans, they're more about the fair skinned Puerto Ricans. And it's sad. We even have it in the black community, light versus dark, you know. And
all I know is a boy like that will kill your brother.
You said what?
I'm sorry. That's all I know is West Side Story or Jesus. Or Bubblegum Rap. What?
Oh, my God.
My entire reference.
Oh, Jesus. We're going to keep it going, though. We're going to keep it going. But, yeah, we just have to be more unified within our own cultures and with our own races. Yeah. And I think that's what strengthened us to be able to stand up against anything.
Yeah.
And we have to do that within us first.
Alan, when did you see your first vagina, and how was it? I mean, other than your mother's.
What? Oh, wow. I'll tell you that. I was 13. I was a youngster. Yeah, wow, I was there. Yeah, I'm a vet.
Yeah.
I'm a vet, son.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a good time.
What?
Good time.
So, no, wait. Have you ever been engaged?
Her name
married
was,
now?
No. What?
Oh,
no,
what? Part, oh, no. Yeah. Let's go back to
I ever been engaged? No, I haven't been engaged.
Let's go back to the first vagina.
The first vagina?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what was her name? I thought.
Oh, for God's sakes, Alan.
Antisha. That was her name.
Okay.
Antisha.
Okay.
That, I mean, I'm being so stereotypical right now.
Right.
Jesus. Yeah, yeah, my first.
I'm going to guess Antisha. This was a black That's a woman's real name. Vagina.
No, she was white.
Oh, Antisha?
No, she was
I thought
black.
It maybe was a Virgin Islands. Antisha.
She was light-skinned. She was light-skinned. Antisha was like, she was bad, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. Shout out to Antisha.
Bad, does that mean good?
Shout out to Antisha. That was that,
oh,
you know.
Wow. Shout out. Antisha.
Shout out. You got to give it. The first draft pick. Got to give that. Got to give that up.
Got to
give that up.
What?
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah.
First draft pick.
Yeah, first draft pick, man. Yes. She came out with the hat and everything.
Yes,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
What?
Come on, I'm ready.
How old are you exactly? And what are you looking for, youngin'?
What am I looking for? Man, I don't know if I know that yet. Can I be honest?
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm looking for someone to hold my hand at night. Just to see in my soul.
All right, you are so fucking full of shit. What are you?
I'm just saying. I just want to be loved. Can I be loved? Can
what
I be
you,
loved?
Harvey Firestein? I just want to be loved. That's so wrong.
Oh my God. But yeah.
All right, you do still want kids and love and marriage.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
all right.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, yes. Do you have your driver's license yet? How old are you?
You know what? I'm 34.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. 34.
Well, good. So you can drive?
Yeah, I could drive.
You don't live with your mom?
I don't
this
live
is
with
fantastic.
My mom. My credit is decent.
These are all basics.
You're going to be a mogul.
I almost paid off my car.
To me.
Come on, ladies.
You need to
Come
find
on.
Someone now before you're fucking Russell Simmons, because then you're never going to know, does she love me? Come on. Let's get this going on tonight. Vanessa, who do we know? What time is it?
Who we got coming over?
Well,
let's do it. We're going to have a draft tonight. Let's do a draft.
Yeah, let's do it.
She won't be the first draft pick, but hey, I'll still respect
you. You'll never be my first vagina.
You'll never be my first vagina, but hey, you could be my last.
Yeah, that's a good line. You know what? Let's work
that's
on that.
Hallmark
you know what?
Hallmark.
You're going to be my last vagina, but let's work on that. And
that's not smooth enough. You can be my last vagina.
I feel a Barry White song coming on.
Don't you look, stare at me. I just want to stare in your eyes and say,
my last.
I want you to be my last.
You're my every vagina.
Why do you sound like Louis Armstrong?
Nobody picked up my Barry White?
You
motherfuckers are racist.
No,
you're
Tina Turner is the worst Tina Turner.
Oh, please.
Please.
I need to see Tina.
We don't need another hero.
Wait, Tina, what?
We don't need another hero. I can't stand the rain.
That's Missy Elliott. Wait, you're blending all these black people together. Like,
you
wait a minute.
Racist motherfuckers.
No, you keep blending them all together.
That was the best Barry White ever.
Oh, my God.
You're my lamb. Vagina. Oh, my God. Fuck you.
Come on.
Racist motherfuckers.
Come on, no.
You know what? Go fuck yourself.
I'm rooting for you.
Go fuck yourself.
Keep going.
Alan Maldonado.
Come on.
You
Beyonce,
mogul.
Rihanna.
Yeah, whatever.
Tisha Campbell
go
here.
Fuck
like,
yourself, fuck yourself. Go get his. You know, but before you fuck yourself, go get his app because everybody.
Yes,
digital.
Please download it.
Because it's
download
fantastic.
It.
Even though he's a racist,
download it, and you may be my last vagina. You may be my last vagina. Download the app.
I love you, Alan. You racist motherfucker.